Thank you for the privilege, Theo, and really thank you for the testimony that comes out of your life. I'm so encouraged to see what God is busy doing here in Somerset West, and also through your life, Theo. I want to really commend you and your wife for your sacrifice of really laying your lives down for the Lord and for what God is busy doing here. I really believe God is going to bless this church beyond its own wildest dreams. I want to share a few things with you this morning, which is precious to me, and I so often want to speak about this because this is so important in the body of Christ. I'm so glad the Stormers won. I'm glad that you got to see it. I had a guy looking after my fish tank this week. We were on holiday, and this morning I had to just text him because he's a shark supporter, and I just text him and I said, "Thank you, I can see the fishes are alive. It's just sorry that there's one dying shark within the tank." So this morning, for the shark supporters, yeah, we'll be praying for you afterwards. We'll allow you to be healed after yesterday's loss. But we are very encouraged to be here this morning and to spend time with all of you. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It was so ironic this weekend just to see, on the one hand, the news, our friend Malema telling that the farmers should not be afraid, because if they're afraid, it means that they don't know how to give up their farms. And you look at how just that later that afternoon, how he goes against the opposition party and hammer a few of his campaign posters against their wall. And then you just laugh within yourself when you also later the afternoon look at the royal wedding. And you just see how total order brings people to such safety. A place of safety where people can really thrive within themselves in living life. And then you think, on the other hand, how crazy it is when leadership or, you know, order is not established within a country. And for me, it's precious to see what the Lord is busy doing, and all of us should really pray to the Lord in this time of elections, even that God would bring our country to its rightful place. But this morning I want to speak about that principle, about the safety of being a son in the house, the safety of experiencing good leadership and Father's anointing operating within the Church of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I'm going to follow with you on the board. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Something that is so important for us to see within the body of Christ in the time that we are living is the fact that God wants to show us that when His total dominion is operating, when we start to accept the authority given to us in the command that is given us to subdue the earth, to start to live by the rules that God has given us, how we will prosper and how we will experience His blessings. There's three things mentioned here within verse 28, which is important. Man's destiny. The first one is that God asked us to subdue the earth. The second one is to have dominion, to rule over. And the third one is to be fruitful and multiply. Now, so often in the church, we talk about subduing the earth, that we should conquer, that we should really rule. And then the second one, that having dominion and rule over what God has given us, being good stewards. But we often forget about the third one, which is the most important one, actually. The one of multiplication. To be fruitful and multiply. That there's an expectation within God's heart's desire for His church and His people to understand His heart of multiplication. Now, I've seen it a few times really flying. It's 8 weeks already. my third little daughter is born about 8 weeks ago. And what a blessing it is, because you don't understand this principle before you don't get to be a father and a mother. That place where you know that, God, why did you not give us adults as children? The opportunity to multiply that which God has given you into somebody else's life. I asked a friend of mine a few years ago, he's got 6 children. He's a doctor there in Worcester. I asked him, so Johan, just tell me, why did you guys decide to have 6 children? It's just crazy. Me and my wife spent some time with them. The first time when we got to meet them, we went to their house to go and eat with them a lunch. And I remember sitting around the table, eating together, a nice meal. And then afterwards, one of the 6 children came to the table asking some pudding. And then she just dropped that whole bowl of chocolate and custard pudding on the floor. And it was just chaos over that whole floor, because all of the other kids came and greeted their mom and made sure that all of their feet went through all of that pudding. And after that, the one who dropped the bowl went to the kitchen and she brought back a mop. What is a mop in English? Mop. So she brought back the dry mop and she started to clean up the floor with a dry mop. And you can just think about the mess. And me and my wife didn't have children at that stage, and we looked at this and we thought, this is just crazy. So I asked him, why did you guys decide to have 6 children? And he said to me, it's very easy. 6 people that we have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with and to multiply our lives into them so that they can go to the ends of the earth. You know, what a privilege for us to know that Jesus Christ is a living person, that He's living within us and that He has a desire through relationship to impart into people's lives so that they can impart into others so that we can go to the ends of the earth. What a privilege to partner with Jesus Christ. I was just listening to Bill Hybels the other day talking about why he is so fanatic about volunteers in the church. Why he loves to just, you know, I think they've got a staff of about 10 people and 5,000 people in the church, or 10,000, I can't even remember the, but 10 staff members. And he said, so why did you guys decide to rather use volunteers in everything that you do? And he said, it's very easy. One person confronted me about this, he said, and the person said, so don't you feel bad about using people's time and money so that they can work for you and your vision to establish what God has called you to? He said, no, because I can see the change within them when they start to partner with me to fulfill God's work. There's nothing as satisfying as serving God and partnering with Him to establish His work here on earth. And if we understand just the purpose of us being here and how we can, through relationship, impart into other people's lives and make sure to, not through structures, not foundations, not Bible school, that's not going to change people's lives. It's the Spirit of God that lives within us that we share with other people around us. And that is what God wants us to understand through Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, when he says, subdue, have dominion, but be fruitful and multiply. Because if you multiply and be fruitful, you will be able to subdue and have dominion and fulfill that which God has called us to do on this earth. Now what? God has a big plan, a multi-generational God with a long-term vision, which you and I just fulfill a little part of. What a blessing to know that it's not because of our gifting and because we are so good, but because of the privilege of being part of it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Turn with me. And the things that you have heard from me, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Four generations, Paul, Timothy, the faithful men who will be able to multiply within others. Four generations that God, through Paul, is speaking to the church about, that we should make sure that we multiply ourselves into. The last days, it's so evident, according to Joel, that the fathers and the sons will turn back to one another again. What a beautiful picture. A picture of God's church. The fact that God really wants to turn the heart of the fathers again back to a generation that so desperately need fathers in their lives. And I can see it happening. Fathers' effect is supposed to be to love, to care, to teach, to correct, to protect. Sons should receive, even demand, to mess up, to fall, to cry. Children become more responsible when they take their position in the house. I read this one book about the lady, Liz Murray. She's in America. And when she was about 3 years old, her dad walked out of the house, and her mom was a drug addict ever since. And she had to live with this chaos in her life. And about 15 years of age, she, through a stepfather that hammered and, you know, just verbally abused her, she decided to just go and live in the streets in New York. And as she lived in the streets of New York, she had to every evening sleep at another place. And luckily she got to one woman who at that stage told her about a private school which would pay for a bursary for her to finish her matric. So she did it. But that really cost her, because every evening she had to go and look for a place where she at least could have a light. Staying within building blocks of, you know, just the portals of flats. When other people already went to sleep, she had the opportunity to sit in the light and just study. And then sleep afterwards. She made her matric exams. And afterwards, she did so well that she went to Harvard, in which she graduated. And today she's a motivational speaker all over America. But you know what she said was so evident to her? Is that when she went to different homes every evening, the best for her was the houses in which there was discipline, in which the parents had a thorough grip on the disciplinary side of their children. She said because it helped her actually in her quest to get to her goals. Because she knew that when she stayed with him, she had to go and sleep certain times. She had to obey to the rules in the house. And she felt safe. In the midst of her chaos, she wanted the covering of fathers in her life. You know what? The church so often I see these days are at chaos in spiritually. We've got an independent spirit so many times operating within our ranks, and I'm not talking about Shofar Church in itself. I'm talking about, and I'm also not excluding Shofar Church. I'm saying that overall, we are orphans in a world where God really wants us to experience the blessing of fathers in our lives. And this morning, I'm not saying that, you know, you as the pastor of this house, you know, are the father in your life, and he should and you must or do everything. Yes, that also, because he's a leader appointed over you. But you've got many fathers that God gives into your life in which you submit to so that God's will can be established. It was awesome to listen to a guy like Will Hart. He's this guy in America that does this, treasure, no, it's not treasure hunt, it's prayer treasure hunt or something like that, which they go and then at evening just pray together, and they get certain prophecies together, and then God shows them a specific place in the spirit where they should go and a specific person, and then when they go out to the place, everything that they prayed beforehand comes to come to fruition. They see basically the person. They see that that person has exactly the sickness. And then when they start to pray, you know, God miraculously just heal people. But Will Hart and their church, or the organization in which he's part of, so often go out and just minister to people. But what is a blessing, the one day that he was here, Durbanville, I remember we had a pastor's questioning session. And so the pastors asked him a few questions. Just, you know, how does the supernatural happen? You know, all of those questions that we all ask always because we want to see God's miraculous, you know, being happening in our lives. All of those questions. And then I think that the most significant one was when they asked him, so how do you keep up being enlightened by the Spirit of God and just go on from strength to strength, serving the Lord and having a passion for souls and having a passion for people and being delivered and seeing? He said, the only way in which I am where I am today and why I keep on being passionate is because I surround myself with fathers in the Spirit that is as passionate. People that are so excited about the gospel that inspires me to see the kingdom come. And I want to say to you, that's why the body of Christ exists. It's not so that we can formally sit here on a Sunday and make sure that we are here and not feel guilty sitting at home. But because we are a living organism that God wants to use to exalt one another and to exhort the people that God has given us so that we can get excited about the right things. Not about the car that we have and the house that we have, but that we can start to get excited about the things that is on the heart of Jesus Christ. And this morning, you know what? I just see so many times we lose the passion to just surround ourselves with fathers with a desire to see the kingdom come. Within my life, I make sure. I went to India last year, November, with CS, just to see what they are doing, because it just inspires me to get my focus on souls again. I want to encourage you to do the same. Don't sit in your holy bubble where in your workplace, in your everyday life, and forget that God is busy operating around you, even though it feels like nothing is happening. Go to where God is at. Go to where God is busy operating. I'm so glad to hear you guys going out to Solaris Pass, Village, or what is it? And different places together as a group. Because that is where we get to be shaped and formed. I remember when I had my congregation in Worcester, my God's congregation, but me leading it. I remember how I so often said to the guys, it's not about drinking tea together, but it's about when we fulfill the work of Christ together, we find one another's hearts. And this morning I want to say to you, make sure to start to surround yourself with people that will inspire you to do the will of God. Paul had a son, Timothy, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Let's just read it. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy was a son, or like a son in the spirit, definitely to Paul. And Paul was so proud of the fact that he could send Timothy, which will represent himself, because he understood multiplication, imparting into Timothy's life. He was an expression of God's father heart in Timothy's life. Now this morning, I want to tell you, don't follow people's mannerisms or personality. Start to follow people, the Christ within people. See what Christ Jesus is doing in other people's lives and be inspired by it. Start to live by the principles of Jesus within their lives. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let's just read 1 Corinthians 12 verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. You know, God allows us different seasons in our lives. We experience different people speaking into our lives. And this morning I want to ask you, are you a law unto yourself? Are you busy just living life from day to day? Or are you allowing people through your transparency to speak into your life? One guy said to me the other day, yeah, but you know what? There's a time when a dad should leave his children to become dads themselves. I said, yes, that is fine. But let God be the one to appoint. Let God be the one to exalt us in due season to fulfill such a function. Because we are not here to do titles in church. In Christ's kingdom, we are not busy saying to ourselves, I'm a father and I don't have anything. Nobody can speak into my life. We always are sons in the house of God because we serve God the Father. Jesus understood it. He said the whole time, listen, I only will do what the Father tells me to do. When I look at fatherless children, there's a lack of discipline, unaccountable and irresponsible way of living. They live for themselves independently. And so often I see in the times that we are living, and this morning I'm not afraid to say this, we see people jumping from church to church and seeking their own benefit, don't understand serving, and unaccountable and unteachable. I'm not saying this morning if you came to this church, you know, from our other church, there's not a good reason. There's seasons in our lives as well. But you know what? Make sure that if God placed you within this house, we sang it this morning, being planted in the house of God that you serve, that you start to know and understand the heart of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 verse 21. Maybe from verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son of his father, he served with me in the gospel. Is that verse 22? Timothy proved himself faithful in the house of God. I want to just say to you, you know what? When it comes to people often come to me and they ask me, so where should I get involved? I don't know my gifting. I don't know, you know, where God wants to use me. It's very easy. Start to serve. And you'll see how God will clearly anoint you in a certain area in which you can start to serve. But you must start somewhere. Go with where the need is at. Start to serve where God gives you the opportunity, and you'll see how He will exalt you in certain areas of your life. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Sorry, I don't have the scriptures with me. Can you get it? I can maybe just I'm not going to read that scripture again. I just want to make sure this morning that all of us know that, you know, even in Timothy's life, and if you look at in Philippians 1 verse 10, Titus 1 verse 4, in Onesimus, Titus being different sons to Paul's life, that we start to appreciate that there's a certain way in which God wants to cover us with His blessing. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 to 1. Can you turn there quickly? 2 to 18. Long piece of scripture. If you have your Bibles here, just quickly read in your Bibles with me. Then he said, are you still turning? Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abram, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abram said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from the heaven and said, Abram, Abram. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abram called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As he said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, I have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You and I, as we trust in God's calling upon our lives, we are at the same place that Abraham was when he had to lay down that which is important to him. Lay down that which we know was the yachid, the only one, The same word was used for Jesus, the only begotten Son. You know, God the Father wanting us to understand that His Son was also willing to lay down His life. Both these sons laid down their lives for their fathers. It's not a gender issue. Galatians 3 verse 28 says no gender. And no tradition or nothing brings us to the place where we are accepted or not accepted. But Jesus Christ. And therefore, the decision to become the Yahid, the begotten Son of God, is a decision that you and I make in our hearts. Where we say, God, we want to experience you as the Father in our lives. God, I want to be the one who experiences your promises for my life. And therefore, we see this picture of Abram then going to the mountain. And then he says to his servants, you cannot go with me to the top of the mountain. I'm going to go with my son, and we're going to finish this job. You know what? The son had to carry the wood. He was the one. He was, because where Isaac went was only for sons to go to. And we must understand that there's a place in which God entrusts us where we willingly lay down our lives and say, God, there's a calling upon my life, but God, I want to serve others so that my dream, so that the thing that you've called me to can come to fruition. You must first serve others before you can serve the dream that God has given you. And this morning I want to tell you that even the loads that he had to carry was willingly, because Isaac could not at that stage, his father was not able to force Isaac, being a young man. At this stage, Abram was about 80 years old. He could not force his son to go and lie down on the wood. But you know what? Isaac had to decide that, God, I'm trusting the word of my father. Remember, Isaac never received the direct word from God. He never got the word that he should be offered. But he trusted the father that he received in his life. He had to trust that Abram would say, listen, I've heard from God, and therefore you must just trust me now. And then willingly go and lie on the wood. I want to say to you, even in this life's calling, it's important for you and I to know that willingly we will have to lay down our lives. Nobody can force us. But we must start to serve out of an understanding that God wants to bless us through people in our lives. And then we know the story of Adam and Eve. Eve never received the calling from God to not eat from the tree of good and evil. Adam did. She had to trust the word that Adam got from God. But you know what happened? Immediately, Satan went to Eve and said, did Adam really hear right from God? Was he not confused about this tree? And she started to doubt. And for us, so many times in our lives, we find ourselves in doubting the people even being set over us. People that lead us and speak into our lives. But let God be the judge to speak into their lives and judge them according to their works. But allow God to work through them into your life so that they can be a blessing. God will raise you in due season. It's not the sacrifice that God demands, but the obedient and sacrificed heart. Abram trusted his Yahid to cooperate until he went to the mountain Abram did not have surety that his son would go and lie down, but he understood his son's heart. And therefore, true son laid down his life for the father to walk in obedience. The vision of fathers is built on the lives of the sons who have been laid on the altar. Genesis 22 verse 5 says that we will come back. Abram always knew that they would come back because God would provide. Because God had a certain plan and a purpose for Abram's life. And the only promise that God could give to Abram was that I will give you a son that will grow from strength to strength. His families will extend like the sand on the seashore. This was the only promise that Abram had, that God will fulfill his promise. And you know what? Abram knew that God would do it. Even when they went up the mountain, he could say, listen, I'm going up the mountain, but we'll be back. We will be back. God will give a way of escape. And I want to say to you, through all of circumstances in life, through all of the things that you go through, make sure to know that God will give the means of escape in the right time and season of your life. God will give you the resources and opportunity that's necessary to overcome every obstacle that He's given you. Sometimes it feels like, God, you've set people over my life. And Romans 8 is so clear that even beyond fathers in the spiritual realm in our lives, that even in the workplace, sometimes it goes difficult. Because the people being set over us are dominating. They're enforcing themselves over us. But there's one way of escape. To lay down before Jesus and say, Jesus, I know that you want to even use this rule over my life so that the promises in my life can come to fruition. This morning, I really want to encourage you by saying that according to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, God gives us the ability and the way of escape to pass every test. I want to say to you this morning, to have fathers in your life is a blessing, it's not a curse. But it's necessary. So often in the church today, we don't find unity because everyone is a law unto themselves. I want to encourage you this morning. Let us just quickly stand. To surround yourself with people that has a passion for the Lord. People that really has a desire to see the kingdom come and wants to serve the kingdom with all of their might because it will rub off on you. But allow people to speak into your life. Be at a place of sincerity and transparency to such an extent where humility will bring you to that place where you will allow people to speak into your life. It was for me so evident. Even in Liz Murray's life, that when she said that discipline was important to her and that the family structure that she did not have was important to her because she was longing after it. Within my own life, I can just tell you so many stories, and I can tell you about the fruit of it in my life. Of times I remember when I first went to Pastor Fred, which really is one of the spiritual fathers in my life. I remember, can we just hand out the communion quickly? I remember when I first got to Shofar, I think 98 or 97. I remember sitting there on the grass before that offices that we had in Victoria Street, speaking to Pastor Fred. And I remember I was about in the church, I think about 3 months. I said to him, Pastor Fred, I just want to say to you today, I really believe that God has called me to be a pastor in this church. Pastor Fred looked me in the eyes and he said to me, first become a son in the house. And it took me a journey of discovering what God's heart was for my life, because I did not understand. I was a law unto myself. I had this big dream for my life. I had these selfish desires and dreams, which was really driving me. But I had to go through a journey of discovering that God's kingdom is bigger than my life. And that God operates in a family structure. That He loves the people that is part of His body. And that as we serve one another and as we serve His kingdom, we start to develop as persons. Through the years, it was so evident to me that the guys that so often want to tell you, listen, this father-son principle, it's not working because, you know, we are accountable only to God. What I always ask them, so tell me, what's the fruit in your life? And I can always just see a road of destruction behind them, because they don't value the body of Christ and that which God has called each one of us to. There's many fathers that God will be using in your life. Maybe you should just ask this morning. You must maybe just ask God, God, I'm so confused because I am a law unto myself. God really used people in my life to such an extent where I can be at a place where I can see in the review mirror the place where You want to cover me, the place where You want to really speak into my life. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we want to pray for Your body. Father, we know that the enemy's plans is to divide and conquer. We know that the enemy's plan, Father God, is always to bring division in Your body, Father, to such an extent where there's too many people wanting to be a law unto themselves. And this morning we want to pray for Your church as a whole. We want to pray, Father God, come and restore Your body. Come and bring Your body to divine purpose, Father God. Bring it to be the end time bride. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that You will establish fathers and sons, Father God, being able to connect with one another, Father, so that those already received will be able to multiply in others. And to understand, Father God, that it's not about my calling, but God's calling in my life as being part of the bigger body. And Father, I want to pray that You will truly in these days, Father God, bring us to understand what it means when You tell us that You want to return the Father's hearts to the sons and the sons to the fathers. Thank You that we know it's not about gender. And this morning, Father God, there's so many fathers in the Spirit, Father God, being women here, being able, Father God, to multiply in so many other young Christian lives. I want to pray that this morning You will enlighten their spirit, Father God, so that the little flame will become a felt fire. I pray that their desires, Father God, to see Your kingdom come will be beyond their own sphere of life. But truly, Father, to see every person that You've called to come to their fruition in the name of Jesus. We partner with You this morning, Father God, through the communion. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, as we eat and as we drink, Father God, that we remind ourselves of the goodness of Christ. And Father God, we remind ourselves about Your body. Your body, Father God, which is far more greater, Father God, than our individual callings. but that you put everyone in its place, orchestrating, Father God, a family who can go to the ends of the earth to proclaim the love of God to the nations. This morning we eat of your body because we are part of it. We love your body. We love what you're doing in and through our lives, in Jesus' name. Let us eat together. Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that it was shed, Jesus, on the cross for each one of us. And that we know this morning that it's only by your grace that we can live. It's only by your grace that we can live life of abundance. Thank you that we know this morning, Father God, that we can either use grace to just survive, or we can use grace, Father God, to truly conquer. And this morning we truly ask you for your grace, Father God, to conquer, Father God, in being people that loves relationship and loves to multiply, Father God, your goodness through everyone around us, in Jesus' name. Let us drink together. Father, then this morning, we want to just pray, as this is a memorial stone in our lives, we want to be like Abram, at a place where we don't understand the future, where we don't understand, Father God, our present circumstances. But one thing we do know, and that is your promise, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you have an individual promise for every one of our lives. But Father, it starts with laying down our lives. We want to be like sons in your house. And this morning, Father God, we consecrate our lives unto you. And we say, Father God, we want to be the wood bearers. We want to serve you. We want to serve your kingdom. We want to carry the wood, because only the Yachid can. And this morning we decide to do so. And Father, we pray that you will just open our eyes, because we are not seeing at this stage. We want to see beyond, Father God, the sphere of the physical. We want to see, Father God, all the need that you want us to address around us. But Father, we want to be focused people. We want to truly understand your heart's desire for the people around us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to speak to you. I want to ask you, if there's anyone here this morning that just need to come and bring your life to God. Maybe you don't know God at all. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a desire to connect with this Jesus. Then we want to afterwards just pray with you. Or maybe this morning you just want to come and lay down everything that you have and every little bit of dream that you have in your life. You want to lay it down so that it will be a seed so that God can start to prosper it. And I want to ask you to come afterwards so that we can pray over it. And that we can this morning just trust that God will take you from strength to strength. Amen? Let's be sons in the house of God, serving His purposes. Not men's, but God's purposes. In a time such as this. Amen. Have a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It looks like it's time to go to the beach or something. Amen.
I just want to add something as well. When we were praying, I saw a picture of a guy surfing, and he was just lying in the wave. And as the waves come, he just have to paddle just a little bit just to be able to get the momentum of the wave to be able to stand up. And and I just felt it was such a great picture of grace that we position ourselves and we start paddling, and as the wave comes, it's effortless. You just stand and you can take the wave, and it's just nothing. There's nothing that you can do to enjoy. You just have to enjoy this wave. But there's just a little bit of paddling that you need to be done almost to come onto this wave. And when you serve in the house of God, there's something that happens that I can't explain it to you, but it's almost a little bit of, it feels a little bit like work, but then as you get onto the wave, you actually just starting to receive God's blessings and God's working through you, and you start hearing His voice. For me, that's how it worked as well. I could not hear God's voice, but when I started serving in the house, suddenly God started speaking to me because there was something that He had to. So if you maybe feel this morning that you want to just paddle, you can feel this wave is coming behind you, and you want to paddle, I want to invite you. Let's come forward. Let me pray with you, and we can just we can set you on your first wave. Enjoy the rest of the day and have some coffee with us. Thank you.